Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Jennifer Duffy, a senior editor for the Cook Political Report, where she is responsible for U.S. Senate and governor's races. Jennifer has 26 years of experience in campaign politics, the last 23 of which have been focused on nonpartisan political analysis. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jennifer Duffy.
Thank you.
And the Cook Political Report is a very respected firm that forecasts congressional elections. And your organization just issued a new outlook for the Senate and for Democrats. And unfortunately, it's not looking very good for the Democrats if they want to hold on to the Senate.
That is true. At the same time, you know, I cautioned our subscribers that we're not saying that it's a done deal. What we're saying is the pieces are in place. There's still a path for Democrats to hold on to enough seats and maintain the majority, although it would be a very slim majority. The vice president might be spending a little more time on Capitol Hill than normal.
You mean the tie vote?
The tie vote.
Right.
If the environment gets any worse for Democrats, then it might be a foregone conclusion. But for now, today, what we see is really a jump ball. We're not sure which side the ball falls on yet, but it is a 50-50 proposition.
But apparently, though, you have moved three races in which the Democratic incumbents, you know, obviously want to be reelected, from leaning Democrat to toss-up, and that's Alaska, yes. That's Senator Mark Begich, Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu, and North Carolina Senator Kay Hagan. And I thought they were relatively secure. Let's begin with Alaska. What's happening there to move him from the leaning Democrat category to the toss-up column?
Well, you know, I think right now Senator Begich's real issue is largely that he's a Democrat in a very red state in a tough year for Democrats. The president is very unpopular. Senator Begich tries to take advantage of that. He said after the State of the Union he wanted the president to come to Alaska so he could show them how messed up it is, his policies are, which is, you know, okay. I'm sure the president will sign up for that visit right away. So it's really environment that he's wearing the wrong color jersey, as opposed to anything that he has done. He's worked very hard to back off his support of health care reform. He spent a lot of time on issues that are very important to Alaska, especially energy, the native tribes. But the environment just might be too much for him.
And what's the problems haunting Senator Mary Landrieu in Louisiana?
Well, you know, again, like Alaska, this is a pretty red state. Mitt Romney carried Louisiana by 17 points. It has gotten more Republican since Landrieu's been on the ballot. And, you know, she has had a bit of a hard time defending her vote for health care reform. And outside groups have spent a good deal of money on ads reminding voters that she did vote for it, something that's pretty unpopular in Louisiana. So that, you know, that does not help her. To win, she's got to, you know, keep this race about her and not let it, you know, be nationalized.
These three that you've moved from the leaning Democrat column to the toss-up column are joining both Arkansas Senator David Pryor and whoever it will be in Michigan that succeeds Carl Levin, who's retiring. So give me both columns for the Democrats. How many are in the leaning Democrat column where, you know, they're obviously a little bit better off, and how many are in the toss-up column?
Okay. Well, right now in lean Democrat, we have three races. Senator Mark Udall in Colorado, who got a very competitive opponent earlier this month. In New Hampshire, Senator Jeanne Shaheen is going to be challenged by a familiar name to some people, former Senator Scott Brown, who obviously represented Massachusetts and has since moved across the state line to New Hampshire.
Don't we call that carpet bagging?
Democrats are calling that carpet bagging, and they will be somewhat successful at the same time. Brown does have some deep roots in the state. He was born there.
Oh, I see.
He has had a house there for years. And basically what they did was give up the house in Massachusetts and move to a state with better taxes. And then there's the open seat in Iowa, where Senator Tom Harkin is retiring. So three. Toss-up column, we now have five. You've talked about them. Senator Begich in Alaska, Senator Pryor in Arkansas, Landrieu in Louisiana, and Senator Kay Hagan in North Carolina, plus the open seat. But here's where things get a little dicier for Democrats. We have three seats that we have already rated as heading in Republicans' direction. There's an open seat in South Dakota, where Senator Tim Johnson is retiring. That is pretty much gone. The Republicans can put that in their column. There are two more seats where Republicans are favored at the moment. Democrats hope they can turn these situations around. We shall see. One of them is in Montana, where Senator John Walsh, he was appointed to the Senate in February to succeed Sarah Max Baucus, who is now the ambassador to China. He's in a tough race. And then there's an open seat in West Virginia, where Senator Jay Rockefeller is retiring after a very long, distinguished Senate career. And there is a Republican congresswoman in that state. Her name is Shelley Moore Capito, who has been running a very aggressive race for over a year and is doing quite well.
So we forgot to mention in the joining the toss-up column, North Carolina's Kay Hagan. North Carolina has turned very conservative, has it not? Particularly at the state house level, there are weekly demonstrations, Moral Monday, etc.
That actually might work to Hagan's favor. Uh-huh. You know, that you had a legislature that has been perceived to have overreached. But of course, Republicans hadn't controlled the legislature in North Carolina in a century. Mm-hmm. And when they got control over it, there was a lot of pent up demand for some conservative legislation, and they tried to do it all. It seems Kay Hagan's problem is somewhat different. She was elected to the seat in 2008. She defeated then Senator Elizabeth Dole, and it was a very good year for Democrats, and it was a year that. The Obama campaign put a lot of money into North Carolina. They put a lot of effort in there, and that all helped her. It also helped her that I think that this race was more about Dole losing than Hagan winning. She remains very undefined in the eyes of a lot of voters. They don't really have a sense of who she is. And she has also been the recipient since the beginning of the year of about $2.6 million in negative ads over health care reform. And she has really struggled with this issue. She struggled to explain her view. She struggled to defend it. So she's had a hard time.
But on the other side, the Republican side, the toss-up column, you've moved two Republicans into that in Georgia, where Senator Saxby Chambliss is retiring, and Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell is having a tough race against a Tea Party candidate. In Georgia, I take it Sam Nunn's daughter is doing well?
She's doing very well. I think that, at least from where I sit, she is the strongest of the Democratic challengers this cycle. There is some goodwill left from her father, but that is not what is driving her race. She's a very solid candidate. She's been a good fundraiser. She's moderate enough to appeal to the business community. She doesn't have a primary, and she has the added benefit of watching a very crowded 7-way Republican primary that is probably not going to be over until late July. All of that works to her advantage. And it is entirely possible that that primary could produce a candidate who just isn't electable in a statewide general election.
And
you know, you've got two very, very conservative congressmen in that camp.
Sure. And then in that regard, you've got also in Mississippi, Senator Thad Cochran, a six-term Republican. He's facing a Tea Party challenge in the June 3 GOP primary. And that could also work out for the Democrats in the way that Todd Akin was a disaster for them in Missouri.
Right. They saw the potential there. Democrats saw the potential. They made sure that they have a good candidate. Look, Mississippi is a very tough state for Democrats, period. But if things line up well for them, they're going to be ready to take advantage of an opportunity.
And this Representative Travis Childers has got a chance, you think?
Well, I think that he's not a liberal Democrat. He is a blue dog, moderate Democrat. He is no longer in the House. He was a very attractive candidate. He got sort of swept out in a Democratic wave, which isn't terribly surprising. But he will, if Chris McDaniel proves to be a weak candidate, Childers will look to be a very reasonable, well-qualified one.
Well, just in closing, Jennifer Duffy, do you think, though, that there's any way? I mean, this has got to be a near-death experience for Obama, and he'll be a lame duck very quickly.
Yes,
you think that he's
deeply,
got
the president is deeply invested in keeping the majority. The interesting thing is, one of his strengths is not useful to Democrats this time, and that is his ability to go on the campaign trail and really motivate the Democratic base.
But you need turnout, don't you? I mean, don't you? You need turnout, don't you?
You do need turnout. Democrats have a plan for that. But on the other hand, trust me, Landrieu, Hagan, Pryor, they don't want the president to come.
I see.
That only hurts them. Uh-huh. What they want instead, and what he's spending a good bit of time doing, is raising the money that they're going to need to mount a strong defense.
Well, Jennifer Duffy, I thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jennifer Duffy, who's a senior editor for The Cook Political Report, where she's responsible for U.S. Senate and governor's races. Jennifer has 26 years of experience in campaign politics, the last 23 of which have focused on nonpartisan political analysis. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.